What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Rock Your Brand podcast. Today, we are going to be going over five Etsy ads mistakes that a lot of sellers are making, and they really can destroy any sales potential or traffic. So what we're going to do is break these down, and not just break these down so we can kind of show you what these are, but we're also going to share with you what should be happening. And there's actually one, number four, actually, that I'm going to be sharing with you can literally be fixed in 5 minutes. Like, by the time you get done watching this, hanging out with us, you're going to be able to go into your account and make this happen. All right. Little teaser there for you. So stay to number four. But all of them are actually really, really important. And we see these happening all the time. And Chris, there is one thing that I want to dive into pretty much immediately, because I just received this response comment from someone that saw that we were going to be doing this. And I'm going to go into that here in a second, but people are always just looking at what the profit was. Like, what did I put in? What did I get out? And I want to address that. Because if that's what you're doing, you're missing out on so much more on what Etsy ads could be providing for you. So Chris, that's kind of where I want to start. There are, like I said, five that we're going to be covering. Before we do though, Chris, I also wanted to share that we have an Etsy ads guide, free by the way, that people can, well, if you're listening to this or if you are watching this, if you go in the comments and just put in there ads, we will go ahead and make sure that you get a copy. All right. And we'll be touching on some of the things that we're covering in there, but it's really our five-step strategy for running Etsy ads. All right. So with that all being said, hopefully I teed that up nicely, Chris, for you. But I did want to go into that because I think that's a big, big thing for a lot of people is, what's your thoughts on that, Chris? Like, I put in a dollar and I only got a dollar back, right? I broke even. So I'm just going to turn everything off. What's your thoughts on that?
So I think, Scott, the only thing that is more controversial than the way that you and I approach SEO, I think, is the way that you and I talk about Etsy ads and the way that we implement Etsy ads. True. And the way that we teach Etsy ads, right? Everybody seems to be divided into one of two camps. Either turn it on, let it run, let it go, or Etsy ads are never worth your time. And I think just like the Etsy SEO approach that we have, where it's like, well, that's, you know, maybe that answer is part of the equation. Maybe sometimes you should turn it on. Maybe sometimes you should turn it off, right? It comes down to the dollar in, dollar out. Where exactly are you making money? And if, Scott, you are using the garage sale approach or the single product category approach, where you're launching all of the different mugs, all of the different t-shirts, right? You're not catering to one niche, then you do have to be a lot more careful with where and how you are spending your ads money. So if you're not making a dollar, the chance of you ever getting another sale from that same customer is extremely low. Whereas if you're on the niche-based side of things and you sell stuff for people who are really into fishing, there's an extremely high chance that even if you break even or potentially lose a little bit of money up front, that you'll start to see more and more repeat sales from that customer. And we've seen from the new changes that Etsy is making that that is something that they're starting to encourage more and more, right? They're marking them in the dashboard. Everbee now has a really cool tool that shows you all of the repeat sales. Etsy themselves have said that that's something that they're trying to encourage. And that will happen on the brand-based or niche-based side of this equation. And so in the e-commerce world and in the marketing world in general, there's kind of two metrics that most businesses look at. The first is what's called CAC, which is a really aggressive sounding thing, right? Customer acquisition cost. How much does it cost us to get that customer? And in an ideal world, right, that customer acquisition cost is actually negative. So for every dollar we put in, we acquire a customer that is worth more than that dollar that we've invested. But even if you're losing money on that initial acquisition, then you look at that second metric, which is customer lifetime value. And when you're selling kind of a one-off sale to somebody, then those numbers have to be positive for you, right? Our customer acquisition cost has to be less than that first sale. But if we're looking at more of the niche-based approach, then we can look at that customer acquisition cost. And even if it loses us a dollar or two up front, we know our average lifetime value is $50, $100, $200. And so we're willing to make that investment up front. So it really depends, right, to pull a typical Chris Schaefer, on which business model you are looking at. And it is not a one-size-fits-all equation. But I think you would agree with me, Scott, that if you're using the niche-based approach, even if you don't see, you know, a 10-to-1 profitability on your ads up front, that there's a good chance that if you can get that customer in the door and you're not losing your shirt to do so, right, you're not spending $100 to make a $10 sale, that there's the potential of recouping that over time. And that's not even to dive into talking about all of the other benefits, like the data that we get back, even if we never make a sale, all of those kinds of things. So am I missing something there? Is there something else? Is there a better way to explain that?
No, there's not. And again, we're gonna dive into these five areas that are mistakes as we see them. But I did want to read this because this is where my question came from that I wanted to address. It came in from Beth. And Beth says, I can't wait for this one, this session that we're doing right now. I just finished a 1-month test with Etsy ads. I had over 1,000 organic sales in 6 months, and I wanted to see what ads would do for me. The answer was not much. I didn't lose money, but in the end, I profited around 10 bucks. So Chris, hearing that now, what would be your response to Beth? I already wrote the response. I can kind of tell everyone what I said here, but I'm just curious, what is your first thought when you hear that someone got 1,000 organic sales 6 months and then wanted to see if ads would do anything and felt like they didn't get much from after when they turned on the ads?
So correct me if I'm misinterpreting this comment, but they didn't lose money. They did make money. They made some sales and they made a profit. Is that an accurate statement?
100%. Yeah, awesome. You got it.
So we made money. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we acquired customers. And that's what this game is really about. And Scott, you and I have really been talking, especially over the last few weeks, about the changes that Etsy is making moving forward. All of the things that they're doing are around customer acquisition and turning one-time customers into multiple purchase customers, turning those multiple purchase customers into the highest value possible customers. And if we approach our business that same way, then even making $10 is a huge win. Obviously, I think everybody in the comments would agree. And right, disagree if you disagree with me, that making a profit is good, but that you'd like to make $100 or $1,000 in profit, right? Up front. I think we could all agree 1,000 is more than 10 and we'd be much happier with those results. But if we didn't move backwards, we acquired more customers and we made money on the proposition, that sounds like a win-win-win to me. If we're approaching this from our perspective, which is get the customer and be break-even or better, then we're not losing anything there.
That's the big thing. That's the big thing. And I actually just saw a comment come through from Deborah and says, I turned on Etsy ads because of your advice. Over the last 30 days, I spent $60 and brought in $588 in orders. I'm assuming there was a profit made on that. So here's the deal. Sometimes you're going to get really, really awesome results. And sometimes you're just going to break even or maybe even lose a few dollars. And if you lost a few dollars, did you really lose? That's the thing that I really want to highlight here. Because what people aren't understanding is that those 1,000 organic sales that came in, the period that you were running ads and those sales came in, like let's say that you got 50 sales from the ads and you made $10 overall, like that's all that you did. But you got organic sales. Let's say you got 300 organic sales in that time period. Well, there's a lot of things that you're not considering. Number one, the sales velocity on the 50. Okay. Now, if you don't know what sales velocity is, it's basically just selling on that listing. So this way here, it signals to the algorithm that it's actually selling. And then Etsy wants to push it more. You're also now able to get more reviews. If you get reviews because of those 50, that could take the people that are just strolling on by organically to get them to convert higher. So there's more to it. Also, if you have a email opt-in for people to join your VIP club or group, well, you might have acquired some potential customers there. You also don't realize that you might have gotten some favorites. You might have gotten some added to carts. And then from there, now you're able to send them the coupons if you have that set up. Or now Etsy's rolling out where they're going to have time deadlines on their coupons. So when people are just looking at dollar in, dollar out, it's the wrong way to go about ads. in my opinion, you need to really look at the data. Okay. Number one, look at the data and then start to look at the other things, the other benefits that are happening because of it. And I would say to anyone, you also have to give it time, which is going to lead us into what we really came here today to share. And that is the five mistakes that, Etsy sellers are making. And hopefully this is going to help you avoid them. So Chris, that's where I want to go next. Let's kind of dig in to this topic. And I think before I do though, I want to see in the comments, how many people are actually running Etsy ads right this second, like right now, how many of you are running Etsy ads? And maybe a little bit later, we can figure out how many people were running them, but stopped running them. So let's just kind of see where everyone's at, like right this second. The other thing I want to say is if you're just tuning in, if you missed it in the beginning, we do have an Etsy ads guide. It's free. And it goes over our five-step approach and what we use. And actually last year, we spent around $10,000 or $11,000, brought in over $30,000. We did make a profit there, and we were able to also, that helped us get our $100,000 in sales overall because we were able to do everything that I just talked about. So if you want that guide, drop in the comments, guide or ads. Let's do ads. Put ads in the comments, and then that way there I'll know to send you the Etsy guide. All right, and it's free, no strings attached. So, with that being said, let's kind of dive in here to number one. And I've got some notes here because I want to make sure that I don't miss anything. Number one, the number one mistake is very, very easy to fix too, by the way, and that is turning them on and then stopping too soon. We see this all the time. You say, you know what? I'm going to run ads. I'm going to do $5 a day. And then 3 days go by and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't get a sale. Boom, turn them off. You spent $15. You made no sales. And you're like, you know what? These don't work. These don't work for me. One thing I will say also, if you've ever done that, you might want to go back in, like maybe, I don't know, maybe go back 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. You might see now that those ads for that day actually made you money. Because it doesn't report right away. Like people could have added it to their cart. They could have favorited it and then got your coupon. So that's another thing. But the number one thing is people don't give them enough time. They don't give them enough time. Chris, you got anything you want to add to that?
I think time is the key, Scott. And I know this is one, and it really does play into the other four things that we're going to totally. Talk about. But I think a lot of people assume that just because they turn ads on, that it will be some sort of a panacea. There's a good word for you, right? It's a cure-all. Well, if I'm not getting traffic, all I have to do is turn ads on. And day one, as soon as I turn ads on, I'm going to get all of the impressions. I'm going to get all of the clicks, and I'm going to get all of the sales. And quite frankly, that's not the case. Now, Scott, you and I have played around with ads, and we actually got a comment before we came on that was asking about how soon can we start to see data? And the answer is, pretty much right away, right? But how much data we get is going to depend on our budget. It's going to depend on how much demand there is. And so we have to look over time at what's happening. And the first thing you talked about, Scott, was saying, okay, I'm going to turn it off because I haven't gotten sales yet. And Etsy Ads has a longer attribution window than a lot of other platforms. They can be up to 30 days in that attribution window, right? And so typically, you're going to start to see that come in a lot faster than that. But if somebody clicks and then they add to cart and they forget, right, they'll come back and buy that later. But people assume that just because they've turned ads on for a few days or in some cases, even a few weeks, that they should be getting lots of impressions, lots of clicks and lots of sales. And they forget, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit, about how to analyze the data in that three-step framework that we'll share here a couple different times as we're working our way through these five things. But they say, I got a lot of impressions, but it's not doing anything. Or I got a lot of clicks, but I didn't get any sales, right? Well, that's not the fault of Etsy ads. That's the fault of something else. And it's either a problem with the targeting or the listing. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But it really comes down to people get frustrated because there's not instant results in a lot of cases, or not the results that they want to see. Maybe they're getting impressions, but they're not getting clicks, or they're getting clicks, but they're not getting sales right away. And they think that just by turning it on, that should happen. That leads to frustration. So, Scott, if stopping too soon is a problem, when should people stop to take a look? Because obviously we also aren't recommending that people just light large sums of cash on fire.
Right.
So at what point should people be taking a look at this and understanding if they have enough information to make an actual decision?
Well, I think it comes down to also, okay, did you actually spend the money or are you just turning them off because you're like, well, I've ran them for 3 days and I'm not getting much, right? Or, and I see Sandra said this here, and I want to bring this up because I do have some thoughts on this. You know, no sales, only 5 clicks for March. I started ads like 4 days ago. Okay. So they've been running for 4 days and you got 5 clicks. That needs to be analyzed. Okay. And we're going to talk about some of the things here in these mistakes that's going to actually help you and anyone else that falls in this camp, because a lot of times people are getting views. Maybe they're getting some clicks, or they get 5 clicks. They didn't get any sales. And they're like, why? I got clicks. Why didn't they turn into sales? You have to also understand that there's other things that need to be addressed if that is the case. Now, only having 5 clicks, I would not think that that is enough data for you to say, I turned them on and I'm not getting any results yet. Okay. Now, if you are getting, I don't know, 30 clicks and you didn't get a sale, we might need to look into that. Okay. We might need to look into that. I still think that's low, but there are some things that we're going to do. And as we work through these mistakes, you're going to see that you might have to look at one of these areas, okay, to be able to do that. So with that being said, Chris, let's go ahead and move into number two. And that is having too many products advertised. Now, why would this be a problem, Chris? If I'm going to, let's say I have 150 products and I am going to turn on my ads, and most people are going to start really, really conservative. They're going to be like $1 a day, $2 a day. And they're like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and turn them on. Why is this a problem? Why could this be one of the reasons why they're not getting results?
Well, I think the simplest way to think about this is with an analogy, Scott. And you and I talk about this all the time, because one of the questions we constantly get is, when do I start my second store, my third store, my fourth store, my fifth store, right? You only have so much bandwidth in a day as a human being, and you can only focus on a certain amount of things. And if you start to spread yourself too thin, then everything falls through the cracks. The same exact thing applies when it comes to your budget, right, which is your mental bandwidth, and Etsy ads. Etsy says, look, I have $2 to spend. If you give me 500 different places to spend it, I can only allocate a few cents to each of these, and it's not really worth it. And Scott, I think the other thing that ties into this is not just necessarily the products, but not understanding the demand side of those products. So if you have 100 products that only 5 people are searching for every day, then maybe you can get away with that on a $2 budget. But if you have 10 products that 500 people are searching for every day, then you're not going to get the same amount of data back because you're not covering that same amount of searches, right? And so if we spread ourselves too thin, Etsy will show us where they can show us, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting the correct amount of data back. And we have to balance the number of products, the demand of those products, and our overall budget. So Scott, I know if I don't ask you this, that we're going to get this as a question almost immediately after I stop talking. How do we know if we're on the right side of that budget versus demand line versus the wrong side of our budget versus demand line? And is there a general rule of thumb that we can use as a starting place for people?
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Yeah. So are you asking as far as like, is allocating like how many products to the budget, more or less? Are you saying like,
yeah, is there a good rule of thumb that people can use to start with? And then when we dive into the data, we can give them a little bit more particularized guidance, I guess.
Yeah. Generally, the way that I look at it is before you turn on ads on all of your products, I would start with the demand side. And we've talked about this before. We talk about this in our 1-2-3 pod fast track training. These products that we're advertising should have demand. Okay. And what we mean by demand is not 100 views in 2 weeks, right? We're talking, we want to see that the products that we are putting out there have a good amount of search ability. So this way here, we can collect that data quicker and we have a greater chance of getting sales. We have to remember that for every 100 views that you get, not even an impression. So an impression would be like, oh, you're scrolling and your listing came up as they were scrolling and they ended up scrolling by, right? A click and a view on your listing, that would count as, okay, someone clicked in, someone is interested. So if we get 100, okay, impressions, that doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, everyone's going to turn into a click. We have to look at the clicks. So what we want to do here is like, look at all of the products that have demand. So if we have ones that get like 50, maybe 75 impressions a day, there's a chance now that we're taking our budget and we're taking all of these products and we're trying to allocate it to all of these when a lot of them probably aren't going to get clicks because, well, you have too many products up there. So I would say take your products that you have right now and do the validation on those products and try to find 5 to 10. Okay, 10 would be max right now. And then from there, I would say, okay, I'm going to allocate personally, I would say $5. Okay. $2 if you want to start slow and then work yourself up. I think that's fine when you have 5 or 10 products. If you have more than that right now and you haven't been doing this a while, then I would take all of those, I'd turn off the ads and I would restart it with your top 5 products. We call them our lead-in products, right? They're the ones that are going to attract the right people to bring them into our shop. All right. And there's some other things that we're going to talk about as far as like optimization and all of those things. But that's what I would do there, Chris, as far as like taking the budget and making sure that it's concentrated on the products that have demand, okay, that have the searchability, but also people are buying the products, not just searching and, you know, that's great and all, but we want to make sure that these are turning into sales. So hopefully that answered the question.
So how do we know upfront? Is there a good way to know upfront that like impressions and then backwards engineer to the sales and the budget side of that? Is there any way for us to know that other than throwing everything into one ads campaign at $3 a day and then starting to pull stuff out?
Well, no, I would start with the sales numbers and then kind of reverse back, right? So that's how we're finding our demand. We're not looking at keyword demand, by the way. We're not looking at Everbee's, projections or predictions of like what it is, like it's a guess. Everbee says it. It's their algorithm that they've built that's giving a guesstimate. That's all that Google does with their keyword tools and all of that stuff, right? So it's just a guess. The way that we're going to know is we're going to turn on ads and we're going to see what that data is. But the way that we can at least see that something is getting views and something is getting sales is we're going to use Everbee once again, and we are going to look at just that. We're going to look at sales and we're going to look at views. Okay. That's all there inside of the data that we see. All right. And so I don't want to go after a product that's gotten 5 sales in a month. Okay. So that means like, what's the demand on that? Not much. So we're going after a product, if we're going to advertise it, that we think we might be able to sell 5 a day. Okay. So that's kind of what we're looking at. I always look at sales numbers. Then my next layer would be looking at the views. Okay. How many views that listing has gotten in a period of time. And then that kind of tells me like, okay, this is a good product to get out there. And then you're really going to know once you turn on the ads, because you're going to see real live data when your product is being displayed, because it's going to get displayed. I think we lost Chris there. So I am going to move on to, actually, you know what? Before I do that, it looks like Chris might be back. Before I do that, I wanted to kind of jump in here real quick, because I saw a question come through And I just want some, I guess, some clarification. So like, let's see here. Sherry says four sales in the last 30 days. And I'm assuming that's from ads. My question on that is, how many clicks did you get? How many clicks did you get to get those four sales? That would be so something that I'd be asking myself.
146. And that's why I asked her, I said, how many impressions, right? Four sales on 146 clicks. That's pretty darn good. And this is something we're going to dive into as we work our way through this, but there's really three metrics that we need to look at regardless, right? How many times are we being shown? How many times are we being clicked? And then how many sales are we getting? And I think everybody tends to focus on that sales number, but that's the last thing in the chain, right? So we say, oh, we only got four sales. Okay. But if we got five clicks, that's amazing. Like, you are a Hall of Fame Etsy ads person, right? So then we have to look at that next number up. And then, okay, if we got 146 clicks, how many impressions did we get? And where are we running into the issue? In this case, it doesn't look like it's the conversion rate. It's either our click-through rate, meaning how many people clicked versus how many times we were shown, or just our total number of impressions. And there's a bunch of different ways to deal with this depending on what the problems are, but that's the way that we have to analyze this. And everybody tends to focus, Scott, on the impressions or on the sales, and they forget about how those three things play together.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, there's a lot of great questions coming in, and as much data as you guys can give us can help us help you, right? If you give us that the info. So we're gonna keep diving in here. I see some really, really great questions. Also, if you guys are tuning in, maybe a little bit late, you just showed up, want to welcome you, but also, we're talking Etsy ads. And if you would like our Etsy ads guide, which is completely free, just drop ads in the comments, put ads in the comments, and we'll send you a copy of that. And I'll actually, share a little bit inside of it here, because once we get past these five mistakes that we're talking about, we'll kind of show you like the strategy kind of broken down. All right. So with that being said, Chris, let me move on to number three. Let's say, for example, we get views and we get clicks. Yes. But now it comes down to, how do we get them to buy? Because that's what's going to make this all work, right? Of course, bad optimization. Okay, there, I said it. People that are advertising and wondering why it's not working could be, not always, could be bad optimization. And there's a lot of things in the optimization. We'll cover that here in a second. But we have to understand that if someone, here we are going back to the data again too. This is why we love looking at the data. Okay. We got someone that was scrolling. We got someone to stop and click. That is like number one. Okay. We look at that. The second thing is, now we're looking at, okay, how many people clicked? Let's say we have 100 people clicked and only one person bought. That's still a 1% conversion, which is actually okay. Do we want a 2%? Do we want a 3%? Yes, we do. Okay. And can we get there? Yeah, we can. It's going to take some work though, because then we have to ask ourselves, okay, let's say 100 people clicked, but no one bought. There's something broken. And what I mean by that is, you're probably showing up for a keyword that is not relevant. Okay. Something too broad. And that's why we want to go on the back end of our ads. And again, we talk about that inside the guide. We talk about that in our Ads Accelerator workshop that we have, but we're really looking at that data. Okay. And when we look at that data, it tells us the story. And a lot of times it's going to have to do with the optimization. It could be your image. It could be maybe it's going to be your description, because in there you don't explain exactly what it is that they're looking for. Maybe there's a certain element that's you have, but you don't say what it is. Or maybe you don't offer personalization and they wanted personalization. Okay. But they clicked in, they're like, oh, darn it. They don't do personalization. Sorry, I don't want it. Okay. So that's the things that we have to look at, is the optimization side. Okay. There's some other things. And the next one in number four is also somewhat optimization, but it's a different area. We'll talk about that. And that's a quick fix. This other stuff, like your image, is probably one of the number one things to actually get a viewer to click. Okay. So we can get views. We can get views almost immediately, but it's getting the click that really counts. And then once we get the click, we've paid for that now. Because remember, we only pay if someone clicks. Let's say that we paid 30 cents for that click. Okay, great. So now we have to figure out how do we get that click to turn into a sale. Okay. And that's kind of how we're looking at the data. We're looking at these different areas. One huge, huge thing that people can probably fix, and this is something you want to look at, is your image, your main image. We just did a Etsy shop audit, and we showed, actually, I take that back. We did it, but we haven't aired it yet. So depending on when you're watching this, we did it with our Backstage Pass Club, and we did an Etsy ads audit, and we found out that she was getting clicks. Okay. She was getting clicks, but she wasn't getting sales. She was getting some, it was low. And then we went and we did exactly what we're saying. We looked at the image. We looked at the other things, but immediately the image, I was like, wait a minute here. These people are clicking over, but they might think that they're getting this color when in actuality it's not. I'll give you what it was. It was a sticker. So someone's selling a sticker. So stay with me here for a second. You're selling a sticker. It's white. Okay. And it's going to go on the back of a car. Well, maybe when you print out your sticker, the background of the sticker that you're going to peel off of is a color. Let's say it's blue, a light blue. That was the main image. So now people are clicking maybe, and they're like, oh, they don't offer any other colors. It just comes in that blue, but it doesn't come in blue at all. It's a white sticker, but you wouldn't know that. So our advice was get rid of that image, zoom in on the back of a car of it actually stuck to the back of the car, not showing it what it looks like coming out of the printer. But that right there could be a huge turnaround for these Etsy ads. Now we're gonna check in with her and see how it's performing in a month or so. But that right there was pretty obvious. And you could see why that could make someone click, but then go, oh, I don't want to end that light blue. That's all it comes in. Even though it doesn't come in blue at all. It's a white sticker on top of that paper that you're, or that waxy kind of paper that you peel it off of or from. So optimization is big. Images, keywords. The other one is on optimization is your keywords. We just did another Etsy shop audit. That one did air, by the way. It's on the YouTube channel. It's under in the playlist, Etsy shop audits. If you actually want to be part of our Backstage Pass Club, by the way, I'll give a little plug here. We're going to meet here in another week and a half. I think we're going to do another two or three Etsy shop audits, but we record these beforehand and then we air them weeks or months later. So if you want to be part of that, you can go to brandcreators.com/club, or if you're on YouTube, you can just click join next to the subscribe button and you can do that. You can hang out with us under 10 bucks too, by the way. What I was saying there is like, we just did one for another shop, and immediately we saw that her Etsy ads, they weren't performing as well as they should be as far as even getting views. Why? Wrong keywords. So now we started to kind of go dig for these keywords that would bring more eyeballs of the right people. So sometimes you're just targeting the wrong keywords. And then what you have to do there is you have to take those keywords that you found and you need to start putting them into your listing. You need to start optimizing for those keywords. And then Etsy will show your product to those types of people. All right. So Chris, I know I went on a little bit of a run there, but anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. First, you'll have to let me know if my connection cuts in and out. I just have to change networks. One of them is being a big hot pile of junk. So we'll see what happens. So, okay. And this is the thing, Scott, this really ties back into the data that we were talking about a minute ago, right? We need to understand where we fall in this process. And if we're getting people to the listing, and we just had two people, Scott, that commented while you were talking about this, he said, I had 150 clicks a day with zero sales. My conversion rate was in the tank, right? And then we had another person who said, I was getting a whole bunch of clicks and no sales. This is exactly what we're talking about. This is not necessarily a problem with Etsy ads. This is a problem with either the traffic that is coming from the ads or the listing itself, right? And the easiest place to look is at the data and then at the listing. In most cases, the reason that somebody is coming to your listing and then not purchasing is it does not match their expectation of what it was in the search results. It could be because you have a keyword stuff title and a really cool image, and they get there, and then they realize that it's not what they were looking for because the title hooked them because it matched the keyword, but it doesn't exactly match what your product is. Or we don't answer all of the questions they have about the product in the additional product photos, the product description, any of those kinds of places. But if you find yourself in the bucket where you're getting some impressions, you're getting clicks, and you're not getting sales, and again, we're not talking about 4 or 5 clicks. We're talking more about that comment that I just put up, you know, 150 clicks a day, right? You're getting a lot of clicks and no sales. It is a conversion rate problem. Etsy's sending you the traffic. It's then your job to figure out where that breakdown is. Is it a problem specifically with the listing? And what can we do to more correctly answer people's questions, to more completely meet their expectations? Or is it just that we're not advertising for the right thing? And that comes into some of the data analysis that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But it's really, it's no different than the organic side of this.
Yeah.
If you type in water bottle and my listing is for this teacup, you're going to get some clicks. But people looking for a water bottle, probably not going to buy your ceramic mug,
yeah,
right? And so we have to make sure that we're matching those expectations. And one of the easiest ways to do that is by optimizing your listing to meet the expectations of those 150 clicks or whatever that amount is.
Yeah, 100%. We've got a bunch of great data in the comments, so hang tight. We will get to those. You know, Sandra just gave us some good stuff. Sherry just gave us some numbers here. We'll definitely address these. And I love it that you guys are doing that because it definitely helps us to see real numbers. Okay. And again, this is exactly what we do inside of our Etsy shop audits. So if you want to watch those, you can do that for free on our YouTube channel. So if you're not yet subscribed to the channel, here's our little shameless plug to subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you like this video as well. But that will help us help you. So if you guys have any data from your ads, drop it in the comments and we'll get to that as soon as we wrap up here. All right, so let's move on to the fourth. Okay, the fourth one. And like I said, this is somewhat optimization, but this is a conversion thing. Okay. And what I mean by that is when we're looking at someone clicked and someone didn't buy, and you feel like your images are on point, everything is well descriptive, you know, everything is kind of dialed in there, and you're like, but why still isn't someone buying? There's one thing that you can do immediately if you're not doing it yet. And even if you are doing it, you can tweak it. And that is running a sale. If you are not running a sale, that is a conversion piece. We all know, including myself, you probably as well, if you go into the store, I'll give you an example. All right. I drink Culture Pop. Has anybody heard of Culture Pop, by the way? Let me know in the comments if anybody has heard of Culture Pop. I didn't realize they're not as big of a brand as I thought, but it's a really, really good soda that's somewhat healthier than your regular soda. It's like 40 calories and there's no like fake sugar in it. But with that being said, it's expensive. Okay. And I say expensive, it's like $8.99 for a 4-pack. Okay. But when I see it on sale, Earth Fare has it on sale, which right now, by the way, it's through the end of the month, which I'm stocking up. And it's I think it's $5.99. So it's $3 off. Heck yeah. I'm buying 6, 7, 8 of these little 4-packs. Why? Because it's on sale. I don't want to have to pay when it goes back up again. So that's a conversion piece. I'm buying more now than I would if it wasn't on sale. And that's how it works for everything. So if you're running ads, especially if you're running ads, you have to run a promo. You have to run a sale. And I would also run that sale where it's going to be limited. So a time limit, 7 days, 5 days, because that way there, it shows people that there's an end to it. And that'll help increase those conversions as well. And I know you might be thinking to yourself, Scott, I'm already running a sale. What are you running? 10%? Not enough. You got to get a little more meat on it, right? Like for me, I'm looking at it. Well, if Culture Pop was 50 cents off, would it still be cool? Yeah, I'm going to save 50 cents on a 4-pack. It's not a lot, but $3? Hell yeah. I can see $3, right? And I can see that multiple times because I'm going to buy a bunch of these. Okay. So I think that's a really, really big one. Now, there's something else I'm adding to number four. All right, I'm adding to number four. This wasn't originally on my list, but I don't want to add another one to it. So I'm just going to add it here because it is a conversion piece. Because number four is a conversion piece of this puzzle that we're trying to do here, okay? And that is reviews. If you have a negative review right now, you need to do whatever you can to get rid of that or to bury it, okay? Because if you have someone coming over, you're getting clicks, and the first thing they see is a negative review, that's not good, okay? So I would even say you might even want to scale back the Etsy ads type stuff right now until you can kind of clean that up, because that could be hindering your sales. And how do you do this? How do you get more reviews? Anybody that's a customer, you better be reaching out to them. And I mean, you can just message them privately, you know, through your little messenger. Or what I love to do as well is make sure on that first opening message that gets sent out to them that you can write inside of either Everbee or you can write it inside of your Etsy account. Just make sure that you're connecting with that person. Make sure that you're letting them know that you're there just in case they have a problem. Don't give people a problem if they have an issue with their order. Just take care of them because those reviews are so, so valuable. So that's number four, a little two-parter there on number four. Chris, anything you want to say on the sales and the reviews conversion piece?
Conversion, conversion, conversion. And Scott, this is the question that we get all the time. And I know we have Sandra in the chat who said, I think I have a conversion rate issue. Sandra, I don't think you do. You had 15 clicks and 2 sales, right? So the question that we get, Scott, is what is a good conversion rate? And how do we know when we have a conversion rate problem that we can potentially start to address with something like this? So 2 to 3% on Etsy is considered a good conversion rate. If we're doing better than that, especially from ads, then we're in a good position. I know we, during Q4 last year, I haven't looked at 2023's data as in-depth as I did at 2022's data, but we converted at 10% from ads. But if we're below that standard 2 to 3% mark, and we have a few hundred clicks that we're dealing with, then we have enough data to start assuming that we have some sort of a conversion rate problem. Step one would be number three, which is that listing optimization, making sure we're using the right images, making sure we're matching customer expectations when they come to the listing. If we match all of those things, to your point, Scott, then we have to do something else. And it's really just pushing people over the edge. And if we can get more people to add to cart and follow up with a promotion, great. If we can get more people because we're running a sale or a promotion with a deadline, awesome, right? But our job at that point is to turn as many of those eyeballs as possible into customers. And there's only a few levers that we can pull at that point. The first and easiest one is to run a promotion. And then two, in the background, we're going to monitor those reviews and make sure that everything is on the up and up there. Because at that point, if we're answering all of the logical questions somebody would have, we're really showcasing the product in our images and we have a good product description and it matches what their expectations are, there's really no reason they shouldn't buy. So if we're keeping an eye on those conversion triggers, that's going to be kind of that next thing that pushes us over the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it too. We're getting a lot of great data coming in, guys. So we are going to do a little round as soon as we get done here, where we're going to analyze. We are going to try to help you as best we can. So again, anyone that wants to drop in their numbers in the comments, do that. And we will go ahead and we'll do our best to help you with the data that you have. And hopefully if you're still in the comments, we can kind of go back and forth and kind of workshop it a little bit. So that would be amazing. All right, let's get into the last one here. Okay. So we went through, you know, turning them off too soon, not running them long enough, too many products advertised on a small budget, three, bad listing optimization, images, keywords, things like that. And then four, not running any sales and not improving your reviews or getting more reviews. All right. So that's the four. The fifth one here is just not looking at the data, not looking at the data. And I don't mean just looking at the surface level data. I'm talking about looking at the clicks and then looking at the keywords. Now, the other day we did an Etsy shop audit and we really specifically looked at the Etsy ads. And I didn't realize, I just assumed that everyone knew that you could see the keywords that were leading from the clicks over to your listing. does everyone know that? Like who didn't know that up until right now, that you can actually look at the keywords that are getting clicks or that are driving clicks? Let me know in the comments. I want to know that. And don't be embarrassed if you didn't. If anything, be excited. Because we showed this, to the Etsy shop owner, and you know, she was like, "Wow, I had no idea." And she's been running ads for a while. So that's a huge, huge piece here, because the data will tell you the story. And sometimes the story you don't want to really admit or, you know, see, because sometimes it has to do with, well, like I said, maybe the image that you're displaying is not good. You got to clean that up, or you got to test a new one. Okay. But looking at the data, and again, like we said, the basic stuff is, okay, are we getting impressions? Are we getting seen? When we say that we want to advertise something, is it being displayed? Okay. So someone could click on it, because if it doesn't get displayed, we can't. Now, another piece of that is, okay, now we're going to look at, okay, we got the views. Did we get a click? Okay. Well, okay. We got clicks, but also understanding what's reasonable. If you get 100 clicks and you get one sale, I'm just going to tell you right now, that's okay. That's actually pretty good. Okay. And those clicks typically are going to run about 20 to 30 cents. Now, are you going to make a lot of money on that? Probably not. You want to get those conversions to be above 2, maybe. Okay. Maybe above 3, because then you're going to get 3 sales for every 100 clicks. Now, if you're getting better than that, congratulations. Okay. But that's what we need to focus on. And so many people are just turning them on and letting Etsy do what it does. And then you're just trying to be hands off. And the truth is that if you went and trained Etsy, okay, because that's what you're doing. When you tell them like, oh, this keyword here that you're driving people over to me, I don't want to be shown for that. Boom, you just turn it off. And then what happens is it starts to let the Etsy ads algorithm know, oh, don't show for that. Okay, this isn't relevant. So now the more that you do this, the more that you're training, okay, you're training Etsy ads for your product. It's not a flip a switch on and then all of a sudden you get floods of traffic and sales. It's just not the way it works. But it is something that you have to start paying attention to. All right. And I mean, inside of our Etsy Ads Accelerator, we actually go through this intense, like workshop is really where we go deep inside of not just like real accounts like our own, but we also go through and we did some of our students. So if you want to actually check that out, that's our Etsy Ads Accelerator. You guys can message us on that as well. Chris, what would we want to put in there for that? Or maybe we just put the link up for that. I think it's just brandcreators.com/ads. Yeah. If you go there, you guys can go through that workshop if you want to. It is a paid workshop. I believe it's well worth it. But it will actually show you like unpacking the data. There's also there's a challenge built in that you start something with the ads going through our strategy, and then you start to analyze it as you go through that challenge. And I believe it's a 5-day challenge for running those ads. It's a 5 or a 7-day challenge. But if you're interested in that, go check that out. Chris, I know that we can go really, really deep on the analytics and all of the data. And I want you to chime in, but I want you to harness it, bud. I want you to harness it. I know you want to go on a tangent here on the analytics. You're just chomping.
Yeah, and since we can't show the data, it kind of defeats the purpose, right? But we will go through some examples of how to look at this. And I think, Scott, one of the biggest mistakes we see people make when it comes to Etsy ads is not understanding the difference between the way Etsy treats organic search and ads search. Right? On the organic side of stuff, people are so used to Etsy being Scrooge and pinching every penny. And in this case, pennies are impressions, right? They're pinching every little impression. If you don't match it exactly, they're not going to show you, right? Whereas with ads, they're more the equivalent of Oprah with one of those cash guns, right? Just shooting impressions at everybody that's willing to throw a couple dollars. You get impressions for things that aren't necessarily relevant. And the reason for that is Etsy says, well, if you're willing to pay for it, we're going to give you broader reach. And so when people come to us and they say, I'm getting a lot of impressions, I'm getting a lot of clicks, but I'm not getting a lot of sales. The first question that we always have for them is, well, are they relevant impressions? You might call this a tumbler. You might call this a thermos, which would be a brand. You might call this a teacup. Etsy doesn't necessarily know exactly what this is. They just know that sometimes teacups are related to tumblers. And so when you're willing to pay for it on ads, they're willing to give you a few impressions to see if you, as the advertiser, think that that's a relevant keyword. Our job needs to be to jump in and figure out where we are in that process. Okay, we're getting impressions and clicks, but they're not turning into sales. Are those impressions and clicks relevant? And if Etsy's calling this a teacup and people are clicking thinking that this is a teacup, we need to go in and start to trim those things out. This optimization is where people start to ask us, Scott, and we got this question on a live the other day, how do I become a data nerd like Chris? You don't have to be a data nerd. You just have to be able to look at that data and say, is it relevant? Yes or no. If yes, then we can keep going down the route of, is it leading to sales? If no, then we're going to turn it off, right? This is not a teacup, although I might drink tea out of it. This is an insulated mug or a travel mug, something like that. So if Etsy's telling us teacup, people are clicking on teacup, that's not likely to lead to sales for us. We have to cut that stuff out. And that is probably, Scott, the biggest thing I think that eats into people's results, even over and above some of the conversion rate issues that people might have, because they just don't know that that report exists. And if they do, they aren't sure when they should turn things on or off. And the simple test there is it relevant? Would you use that search term to describe your product? If yes, then you potentially leave it on. If no, you just cut it out and then move on with the rest of your day.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Lots of great questions you guys are putting into the comments, and we're going to get to them, I promise. But that is what we wanted to share with those mistakes, because they're huge. And I think the big thing I want you to walk away with, again, I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you, but I want you to logically think to yourself, does it make sense that you're not supposed to just turn on the ads and then let it run, and you're thinking that like magically you're just going to have a whole bunch of sales? It just doesn't work that way. And I think more than anything, I just want you to be aware of reality in any market, by the way. Like if we're talking about Facebook ads, if we're talking about Google ads, any of that stuff, Amazon ads, we're typically looking at the same type of conversion numbers. A lot of times people think, oh, if 100 people saw my item that clicked, then I should have 50 sales. It's just unrealistic. Doesn't happen. Okay. What's realistic, I would say, depending on the year. Now, if you're talking about Q4 and you're selling Christmas ornaments, your conversion rate's going to be much higher, much higher. But we're talking average, regular time of the year, even leading up to a holiday, like let's say we're getting into Easter and you're selling something that's related to Easter. Yes, your conversion rate will go up a little bit, but for the most part, on average, one to three, 4% is good. Okay. Is good. If you get better than that, congratulations. And I would like to know, anybody in the comments, if you're getting above a 4 or a 5, even let us know. I'm just curious what it looks like for you. All right. So we are going to dive into that. Chris, looks like a comment that came through. I want to address this one. And honestly, secretly, this is probably going to turn into its own little video. So just to kind of give you a little insight there, Chris, because this here is big, and I think this needs to be addressed. I've been running ads from mid-January for 3, looks like euro, a day. My stats are 22,700 views, 339 clicks, and 6 orders. I've spent $96 and I brought in $40. Oh, Chris, I need to address this because I think these numbers are fantastic, right? 22,700 views, 339 clicks. That's amazing. And only 6 orders. that's not the part that I'm really kind of thinking might be broken here. Chris, before I share what I feel might be the issue here, I'm going to throw it your way and we're going to play a little bit and hopefully we're thinking the same thing, but go ahead. I'm curious on your thoughts.
The thing that stands out to me, and you know, to get into the nitty gritty on some of the other numbers, I could cherry pick, you know, click-through rate, conversion rate, all those kinds of things. But the thing that gives me a heart attack there, Scott, is six orders at $40 in revenue, right? I ain't no math genius, but I can tell you that is less than $10 an order in gross revenue.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I see a big problem with here a lot of times is like digital products where people will sell it for $5, maybe $10. If it's a purely digital product and you're making a lot more margin there, then you can get away with that. But if we have low cost, low margin products, this becomes a huge problem very quickly.
Yeah, I agree. And that's exactly what I was going to say. And I think anyone right now that is selling a digital product, and like we said, let's just use round numbers. Let's say you're selling it for $6. Okay. If you look at like margin, you're like, there's 90% margin on that, but it's 90% of $6, right? There's not a lot of meat on the bone. Like we don't have a lot because we have to realize it is going to take, let's say it's going to take 50 people to click in order for you to get a sale. You have to start looking at the numbers. You're like, okay, let's say it's 20 cents a click. Do the math. You know, and then from there, you're like, oh, I guess I'm not going to make any money. So one big mistake that I see a lot of Etsy sellers making, whether it's digital product, whether it's print on demand product, what is the margin? What is the profit coming from that after all expenses? What is it? Because before I would run Etsy ads, I'd need to know that. And if it wasn't worthy of Etsy ads, I'm not running it. Okay. Now, if you sold, here's a big one now, pay attention. If you were selling a digital product that also led to more things that you had to offer in your shop, I might be okay with that. Because now if a customer buys from me and then I'm doing all of the other things that we talk about here on our YouTube channel, and really our philosophy, our strategy is to have more products for that one person to buy. Well, if that one person came in and they saw that they wanted to buy that one product for $6. And then from there, they could add something for 20. They could add something for 40. They could add maybe another one for 10. At least you have more opportunity for that customer to be worth more. And that's where you can get ads to really, really work for you. But if you're right now trying to advertise just one product and you think, oh, as soon as I get this thing dialed in, I'm going to be able to just scale this thing. You're probably not going to be able to do it. Even if you are making $15 on that sale, I still would be reluctant on running Etsy ads. And the reason why is because it usually is going to take $3, $4 maybe to acquire that customer. But if you acquire that customer and you have more things for that customer to buy, that is how you make Etsy ads work. Chris, got any thoughts on that?
No original ones. I'm just going to share Elysian Workshop's comment here. LTV for life, right? It's all about that lifetime value. And it's funny, Scott, because this was not planned, but we ended up bringing this full circle to the conversation we were having about stopping too soon and not understanding what a good return on investment is.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody likes to have that ROAS number. And if you guys have heard me talk about ROAS, that's return on ad spend. Typically, if you're in a regular business and you had a 4-to-1 return on ad spend, that's considered like exponentially scalable, right? If I could run an ad on Google and I was getting a 4-to-1 return on ad spend, I'm going to scale that essentially infinitely, right? I'm just going to start throwing money at them like Oprah with that cash gun until that ROAS starts to drop. But if I don't know my customer lifetime value and I don't know my margins on the back end of that, and it turns out that I only have a 20% margin after shipping and all of these kinds of things, then I'm actually losing money. And what people do not understand is they don't understand that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we've got a bunch of people in the comments, just agreeing and just saying that you have to know that. And one way that you can do that, by the way, is Everbee has a built-in calculator. I've done videos on the channel here to figure out what your profit margin is. If you want to try Everbee, you can try it for free. You get 10 searches and you can use the calculator. If you go to brandcreators.com/Everbee, again, that's brandcreators.com/Everbee. And you can try that out. And I probably should have something somewhere. I thought I did, but I guess I do not see it here. Oh, yeah, I do. There it is. Okay, so yeah, if you guys want to try it, there you go. A little shameless plug. You will buy us a cup of coffee, and we do like our coffee, and we would appreciate it. So yeah, and you can try it for free. So that's that, all right? But you really do need to know that. Another question came in was like, Scott and Chris, what is our minimum? Like, what should we be... what's our profit that we should be making on a product before we decide to offer it or promote it using Etsy ads? And, you know, my thought always is, what is on the back end of what you could sell them? Because in the beginning, I'm not so worried about it. Like, I'll actually acquire a customer. And if I break even, I'm like, fine, I'm okay. No big deal. Like, I'm not stressing. Okay. And the reason why is because I have everything built in to our Etsy account that is going to have more chances for me to follow up with that customer and the way that, or potential customer, if someone favorites something, I've got the trigger set up. If someone adds to cart, I've got that trigger set up. If someone buys, I've got that trigger set up. Okay. My first message that goes out welcomes them and tells them that we've got everything, you know, preparing for them and all of this, and we'll be in touch when it's shipped. But then I invite them to our VIP group. Then I get to send emails. And guess what? When someone buys off my email list that came from Etsy, that's profit. I didn't advertise to them. Only thing I did was I sent an email. And I recently did that. I showed an example of an email that I sent out, and that one email did over $480, I think, from one email. Those people probably came from an Etsy ads that I might have broke even on. That's the big, big picture. That's the big, big picture. How many of you right now in the comments, let me know, how many of you have more than one product that your customer could buy? Let me know in the comments, yes or no, or multiple products or one product. I'm just curious.
I think the qualification we should probably put on that is the same customer, right? Do you have more than one fishing thing in your store? If you just have different mugs or different t-shirts, the answer that you should be putting in the comments is probably a no. And Scott, I know we've had a lot of people asking about the minimums and all of those kinds of things. The other question that I have for you is, even if you didn't have other things to sell them on the back end, if you're acquiring that customer at break even, is there a reason you would still leave those ads on? So it's not costing us anything, but it's also not losing us anything when we run all of the numbers. Is there a reason at that point, even if you had nothing else to sell them, that you would still leave the ads on? And if so, why?
The only way I would do that is if I was building a customer base to sell them things in the future that I might not have created yet. That's the only way that I see that would be useful. But that's why Etsy ads to me is not the thing that is going to be able to be scaled without having more products to sell that customer. Okay. Unless you have an extreme amount of profit that's being generated. If you're selling a product for $300 and you're making $100 or $150 on that item, yeah, you can probably dial up your Etsy ads. But then also you'd have to look at, is there enough demand for me to scale this? That's the other thing that we look at. And what we're talking about as far as scaling goes means if you're getting 100 clicks in a month and you're getting 3 sales, the question is, can I get 500 clicks? Can I get 1,000 clicks? Is there enough traffic? Is there enough search for those? And that's where the validation in the demand and stuff comes into play.
I think the other argument that I would make there is, even if you didn't have anything else to sell them, right? If we are break even, we're still getting all of the data. And this is telling us, here's how many people are searching for this specific keyword. When they search for that, here's how much they click or how often they click, and then how often they buy. That can be really important for us on the organic side. So as long as we're not losing our shirt doing this, that may make a lot of sense. And then the other argument there would also be it's contributing to our overall sales and our overall sales velocity inside of the Etsy ecosystem. So even if we do end up being break even, I would still be leaving those things on, obviously, right? And everybody type profit in the chat below, right? We want to make profit, but even if we're at a place where we're break even and we don't have anything else to sell them, it's potentially still worth it so that we can get that additional volume, that additional velocity, and that additional data, because Etsy traditionally has been very stingy with what keywords are working. And that data from ads can be really key, even though they have the beta search report now, in really understanding what people are typing in on even the organic side so that we can better optimize that listing for the long term. The ideal situation here is that we're making money when we acquire the customer, we have a whole bunch of stuff to sell them on the back end, and we're getting that data. But even if we're just getting the data, in a lot of cases, it's worth it, as long as we're not lighting our entire wardrobe on fire to get that data.
Yeah. No, that's all. That's really, really good. Okay, we've got a bunch of people that have submitted some numbers for us to do. So guys, if you want us to take a look at your numbers as far as views and clicks and sales and how much was spent, how much was brought in, just drop that in the comments. We've got a bunch of them here, which is going to be fun. We like doing this, but we also hope that this is going to help you. So we would really appreciate that. And also, there's over 180 of you on here right now. So if you have not yet liked this, okay, if you're hanging out with us and you haven't liked this yet, you must like it because you're still here. Could you just do us a favor and just click like or heart it or whatever platform you're on? If you're on YouTube, just go ahead and smash the like button. And if you have not yet subscribed to the channel, make sure that you subscribe. All right. So with that all being said, Chris, I think we covered everything in the five mistakes. I think we were very, very clear on all of that. Let's dig into some questions, but let's also dig into some of these numbers. So the first one that I wanted to pull up here, let's see here. There it was, right here. Bear with me, guys. Here we go. Okay. This is the one we just did. We already did that one, didn't we? My case, month and a half running ads, $5 a day, total spend $21? $21. Yep. Bucks, 8,000 views, 96 clicks and zero sales. I started following your guide 100%, only 10 products. Then I added all the rest, 37 total. Okay, cool. My question on this, okay, it's $21 spent. So it's only been running for what, about not even 5 days. Right.
Well, that's assuming he's spending that, right? Because we have 96 clicks total.
That's true.
So, you know, that's how we get to that $21. So the first thing that we're looking at here is, do we have a traffic problem, an impressions problem, a click-through problem, or a conversion problem? Yeah. Looking at this, Scott, what is the first thing that really stands out to you when you see 8,000 views, 96 clicks, zero sales?
I see a conversion problem. I think with 96 clicks, I think that we should get, I would hope that we would get a sale. So I'd be looking at right now, I'd be looking at the conversion side of things, but I'd also be looking at the keywords that are driving the clicks. So that's the first place that I'm going to look is we're going to go ahead and say, okay, out of these 97 clicks, what were the keywords that drove the clicks? And then you're probably going to see a good number. Or maybe if it's, what was it here? How many listings was it? It was 10. So you might have one listing that was like, you know, maybe 10 clicks of that, or maybe 15 clicks, or maybe 20 clicks. You're going to look at that and go, is that too broad? And if that's the case, we need to trim that. If it's not broad, and if these clicks are all like, yes, these are the target person, then we look at the conversion side of the image that's being displayed, or the promise that's being made of what's being delivered. Like I said before, someone could go there, love the product, but go, oh, they don't personalize. And then they're gone. Right. So that's kind of how I'm looking at these numbers right now, Chris. Is that where you would arrive as well?
Yeah. And the way that I look at this is, are we getting a decent amount of impressions? That's not a ton of impressions, but it's enough for us to start inferring some things. Then are we getting a good click-through rate? again, this is going to vary wildly, but if we're below 1%, that's usually a giant red flag that there's something wrong with where we're being shown, or our title and photo or video that shows up in the search results isn't matching expectations.
Yeah.
In this case, we're a little over 1%. So the click-through rate's okay. Could we do some things to improve that? Probably. But that's not really where I would be focused. If we're at 100 clicks and we don't have any sales yet, that starts to become a concern to me. Now, on the next four clicks, could we make four sales? Absolutely. Does it happen all the time? Absolutely. But if we're looking for a place to really drill down to figure out what's happening, even at that early stage, then yes, we're going to start to take a look at that conversion rate. And like you said, Scott, the first place that I'm looking is at how relevant are the keywords that are leading to clicks to my listing. And if they're relevant, then it's a listing conversion problem. If they're not relevant, then it's a keyword relevance problem. And we just turn them off inside of the ads and let Etsy kind of reconfigure where we're showing for ads and point them in the right direction.
Yeah. Let's see here. What one did you have? Go ahead, Chris. You had one.
I have a whole list of them back here. So bestseller this year is 200,000 views, 4,000 clicks, 41 orders, and a 3-to-1 return on ad spend at 3,800 revenue with 1,250 spend. Very low conversion, but I'm hoping to improve it with some infographics and a review image. So Scott, if you see something like this, what are your thoughts? Like, is there anything here that sticks out to you as a problem or a quick way to start to optimize?
Okay. So let me just kind of break this down here. So 200,000 views, I think that's good. That shows there's demand. Now I'm also curious, what time period does it say? What time period this is? Oh, my bestseller this year. So that is that last year, like 2023, or is that this year current? I'm curious. But let's just say 200,000 views, 4,000 clicks, 41 orders. I definitely think like we can increase or we can improve the conversion. And I think, like they're saying, like maybe some infographics, I think a review image is definitely something that I would want to do immediately. So if you already have reviews, what we're talking about here is like taking an image or multiple images and taking the reviews that are coming in and then putting them in those image slots, because that way there, it forces people to see the reviews. So I think that's one thing. And as far as I don't know if it's a break even or if they've made a little bit of money, but I'd like to know what were the organic numbers. Okay. You got 41 orders, but what are the organic orders for that year? Because again, that's something we don't look at. If I'm looking at these numbers and let's say it was 41 orders, but the shop did 500 orders, I'd be like, okay, well, those 41 orders probably helped with getting the 500 orders. So 3,800, 12 or 1250 spent, 3,800 in revenue. That's worth it, is probably what I would look at. So I think without seeing like the keywords that, you know, the clicks, cause 4,000 clicks, that's a good number of clicks. And the click-through rate, what would that be, Chris? I mean, I'm throwing you on the spot here. What would the conversion rate? 2%. So about a 2% click-through rate, which is good. Like that's good. And as far as the, and what's the conversion rate then at 41 orders?
So the conversion rate would be just over 1%. And that's the thing that really stands out to me here. And again, this is the same problem we were just talking about. We're getting a ton of impressions, a good number of clicks, but are those clicks relevant? If yes, then we have a conversion rate problem. Yep. If no, right? So they're showing up for teacup and we sell really cool paintings or something, then we need to cut those out. That will automatically reduce our ad spend and increase our return on investment. Even though we'll be driving fewer visits, fewer clicks, less traffic, it's higher qualified traffic, which is what Etsy wants to see anyway. So that 1% conversion rate is really the thing that concerns me. Now, if this is just since the beginning of January, is that the end of the world? No, because we're kind of at the lowest converting portion of the year. But based on our previous ads data, we average somewhere between 4% and 5%. Over the course of the year from ads, even when they're unoptimized and we're just trying to light money on fire to see how much Etsy will show us. So you should have a lot of room to improve that. The question is just, which lever do we pull first? The easiest lever is to leave the listing alone and see if we can cut out some of the fat. And if there's no fat to cut, then we have to look at, okay, if somebody's typing in teacup and I sell a teacup, why aren't they converting? That reviews image can go a long way. Better human readable titles, more thorough description. Those are the other things that we would want to take a look at. We clearly don't have a demand issue. What we have is a connection issue. We're not getting people over that last hurdle to convert. and we could easily see we're already at a 3-to-1 return on ad spend. If we get that to even a 2% conversion rate from a 1% conversion rate, we're just printing cash, right? We're then very easily able to go to Etsy and say, double that ad spend, triple that ad spend, and just let it come back in.
I wanted to bring up Sue's real quick. And the reason why is, number one, I mean, this is, it's again, very similar to what we're looking at, just smaller numbers, right? But I did want to say, I believe Sue is going to be, coming up for one of our Etsy shop audits. I believe if it's the same Sue, I'm pretty sure it is. And Sue, we can actually, when we do your Etsy shop audit, we'll dig into your ads. So, we can go ahead and do that. And for anyone that's, you know, here, that would like to be part of the Backstage Pass Club, you can go to brandcreators.com/club, or you can just go to join, on the YouTube side of things. But looking at this just at the surface, like 9,181 views, 131 clicks, one sale. Same thing. We're going to want to look at the clicks. We're going to want to see if they're relevant clicks. If they're not, we want to turn them off. The one sale. So that means we're just under 1%. Okay. On our, so that is a little low. And again, I would probably be willing to bet that some of those 131 clicks are probably from non-relevant keywords. So we have to turn them off, or they're broad. They're too broad, so that we can tune that up. Okay. And it looks like the sale was for $47. So it sounds like you have a product that sells for a good amount. I'm wondering what the margin is on that, but you spent $30.36. Okay. So you still probably didn't make a profit, but you got a customer. And I'm pretty sure that your niche, you probably have other products that that customer can buy. Now again, this is for this whole year. So we're January, February, we're just into March. That's 2 months. Only 9,181 views. I think we need to bring the demand up. So we probably want to find some products, or we need to find keywords that are related to your product that have more demand. So that's just another observation, but very similar to what we just did, just smaller numbers. Anything you want to add to that, Chris?
The thing that really stands out to me there is if this is over, 2.5 months at this point, this is more of a demand issue, right? We need more eyeballs to get more data. Is our conversion rate here a little bit low? Yes, but this is not enough information to know that we have a conversion rate problem. What we want to check here is, what is the availability of more impressions? And we can do that one of two ways, including more products, one of three ways, I guess, launching new products that have more documented demand, including more products, or just increasing budget if we're actually hitting our budget cap. In this case, I don't think we are, because we've spent, 50 cents a day basically at this point over the course of the year. And so I don't think we're hitting a budget restraint here. So we would need to include more products or launch more products with more demand. That will get us the data that we need to understand, is the problem with the relevancy of the keywords, or is the problem on the listing in terms of that final conversion rate? Scott, what are your thoughts on 4,007 views, 58 clicks, zero sales?
Okay. Let me go back. I was already going to blurt it out. I think, and how long is this for? Do we have an amount of time?
I think it was this year.
This year. Okay. So we have a demand issue. Obviously the products that we're selling doesn't have a lot of demand if we've only got 4,007 views, 58 clicks. So Chris, do the math for me there on that real quick. What's the CTR on that? What would that be?
About 1.5.
Okay. So not terrible. Actually not bad at all. We like anything above 1% is usually what we look for. But I would look at those 58 clicks and I would see if I can identify anything that's too broad that might not have. But then also I'm looking at it as it's only 58 clicks, right? There's just not enough. Even though you're like, yeah, but 58 people, they came to my listing. They must be interested. Yeah, they might be interested, but they're probably looking or shopping around, or maybe you didn't have a sale running, or maybe they didn't like the image once they got in there, or maybe they saw that you couldn't personalize, like whatever it is, right? There's a problem there that probably could be fixed, but I don't know that I would worry about it yet until I get at least 100 clicks. I think that's my threshold. I need 100 clicks before I start to kind of go in there and, changing things.
Yeah. So just for February, so for 29 days, I guess this year, 24,000 views, 817 clicks, okay. Four sales, four listings at $10 a day, $544 in revenue, $197.78 in spend. So I don't know why I'm reading that from the tiny comment when it's giant in front of my face, but either way works. So the first thing that I see here is, you know, we're talking a 3.5 to 1 return on ad spend, probably pretty good. What really stands out to you here, Scott, looking at this once we move beyond the, you know, the revenue?
Yeah. So I'm looking at it looks like there's good demand because we're talking about 29 days here. Okay. So 24,400 views. That's good. 817 clicks is fantastic. I like that. And four sales. All right. So again, what is that, Chris? If my math is correct, is that like 0.5% for the conversion rate?
Yeah. So we have an insane click-through rate, right? We're looking, what is that? 3%, just a little over 3%.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But then we have 0.5% conversion rate. And thankfully, you know, depending on what your margins are, we're probably making money with this, but this leaves a lot of meat on the table in terms of, can we optimize the listing, or are a lot of those clicks just utterly irrelevant to what it is that we are selling? And if our conversion rate's that low, that would be the first place that I would look. It's not likely to be a listing problem unless there's a really big disconnect between what people are searching and what you're selling. It's probably that you're being shown for something that's not exactly what people want when they click on the listing.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to dig into the 817 clicks, and we need to see broad or not relevant, right? Too broad or not relevant, right? So it's kind of like someone clicked, but they got over there like, oh no, that's not what it is. Or it's just too broad that, yeah, they saw it. And, you know, you sell, a wood sign, but they're looking for a wood plank for a shelf. Okay. And you're coming up for wood. So we'd be like, okay, well, we don't want to just come up for wood. It's too broad. So we want to be more for like wood shelf or, wood sign, like whatever it is. Even at that, you'd want to be like wood sign, baby room or something, you know what I mean? Or farmhouse wood sign. So we'd want to show up for that. So that's where I would first want to dig into to kind of see, and I'd be almost willing to bet you're going to find some keywords in there that need to be turned off or that need to be, you know, acknowledged that, hey, these are not relevant to my listing, turn them off. And then I would start looking at, how we can increase the conversion rate.
Year to date, 26,800 views, 190 clicks, 4 orders. $19 in revenue, spend of $49.17. So the first thing that stands out to me, I think, is probably the first thing that stands out to you, which is we're averaging less than $5 per order. Potentially an issue, but is there anything beyond that, Scott, that really stands out to you when you look at that?
Well, I mean, I look at 26,800 views. It's good. You know, that's showing some demand there. And then 190 clicks shows me there's some interest there. And from there, I'm looking at, okay, 4 orders. That's not bad either. I mean, we're talking, that's over, what is that, Chris? That's over 2%, right?
Yeah. The big thing that stands out to me here is just that click-through rate. And that's probably not what we want to hear because we're already spending more than we're earning. But the problem there is product price point, right?
100%.
Versus conversion rate or anything else. I don't have control over that. I can just tell you what I see in the data, right? Mm-hmm. So when I look at this, I see 190 clicks on almost 27,000 views. That's less than 1%, somewhere in the 0.7% range. So like 0.7%. That would be a concern for me. The other thing that is probably a consequence of this is that we're probably being shown for some irrelevant things. The other thing that we would need to take a look at here is that cost per click seems to be higher than what we've seen on other examples. So what is that? 49.17 divided by 190. I mean, 27 cents. That's not average. Much higher.
Yeah.
But it feels higher, I guess, because of the amount of revenue generated.
Well, that's the problem though, Chris. I think that's the big thing. Like that's the elephant in the room, if you will, right? It's like, listen, I don't think that if you don't have anything else on the back end to sell, you're advertising something for $5. You know what I mean? It's, you have to have something that's like insanely high in like a conversion rate, like insane, to make that work. So
if we had 100% margin, we'd have to be converting consistently at 5%, right? Yeah. Not unrealistic. And we, you know, Q4, we've converted 10% or higher in October and November.
But that's
and
Q4.
In 2022 and the first half of 2023, we averaged 5%.
Yeah.
But we also had higher margins, right? And so that would be for you to break even. The question here is, can we transition this to a place where we're getting people on the back end? And if so, then is it worth it for the lifetime value of the customer? Or is there a way that we can sell higher end products to these customers? These customers are clearly interested in buying things. The question is, can we get them to buy a $20 product at the same rate or even half the rate, right? Yep. So that we're at break even from that point moving forward. And Sherry said, I'm only spending $1 per day on ads. And Sherry, I don't think your issue here is not demand. Your issue here is not click-through rate. Your issue here is not actually conversion rate. Your issue here is straight up margin versus cost of ads, right? Cost per click is going to be 20 to 40 cents in most cases on Etsy. We fall right smack dab in the middle of that. I think it said it was like 25.9, so we call it 26 cents.
Yep.
The issue with that is unless we convert at 5% plus, we're never going to break even. Assuming we had 100% margin, and that's before Etsy takes out, you know, their 6.5% plus the other fees, and it adds up to 9.5%. We're never going to break even that way unless we're the highest converting listing on the platform.
Yep.
All right. Okay. 211,000 clicks. I'm assuming that's views. So 211,000 views, 2,500 clicks, 70 orders. We're edging a little bit in terms of revenue, right? So we came out a little bit ahead. Based on this, Scott, is there anything that really stands out to you? So 211,000 clicks and 211,000 views, 2,500 clicks.
Yep.
What's the thing that really stands out to you?
Paige did say that they're testing, right? Testing different amounts and listings. So now I've picked specific listings to try for a bit. That's smart. I like it that you're testing. I don't think people test enough, to be honest. You know, we ran a test leading up to Q4 before Q4 got big. We actually said, you know what? What happens if we dial up our budget and see if Etsy gives us more traffic? And that also will really kind of pressure test to see your demand. So I'm always wanting to test. Now, I say always, like not every day, not even every week. It might be a monthly test. And that test might be subtle. It might be like, let's change an image out on this thing. But I'm really glad that you're doing some testing. But I mean, again, kind of going through, and you're starting to hear over and over again, guys, like this is kind of what we look at, right? We look at if you're getting that many clicks, we need to look at those clicks. Like first part that we need to do is we need to make sure that those clicks that we're paying 20, 30, 40 cents for, we got to make sure that we're not spending money just to spend money, because we can literally take that where we spent, I forget what the number was, Chris, but let's say it was $700 or $1,000. We might be able to shave that down $200, $300. And now all of a sudden we didn't lose as much or we made more, right? Just by doing that one little pruning, as we call it. So I would definitely say the clicks is what I'd be looking at first, because there's quite a bit of them, you know, there's quite a few there. Before we keep going here, Chris, I know we're going through a lot of these. We got a couple more here, a few more. If you guys would like to download our Etsy ads guide, it's free. You can just drop ads in the comments and then we will go ahead and make sure that we send that to you. Okay. So if you want that, it's basically us going through, and actually I've got it here. I'll throw it up on the screen real quick, Chris. Let's see, where is that guy? There it is. So basically here we have a little guide that we put together. It's 26 pages and it really gives you our 5-step process. You know, we evaluate the potential, optimize your listing, set a budget, tweak keywords, and analyze the data. Basically everything that we've kind of talked about right here, but you can kind of see if I kind of scroll through it, you know, you'll basically have everything kind of to go through, setting your budget, you know, when, you know, what to run, looking at the data. You know, ads data is gold. We kind of told you guys that here, tweaking your keywords, all of the stuff we talked about. But if you want a copy of this, okay, All you got to do is just drop ads in the comments and we'll make sure that we get you a copy. All right. And so that's that. All right. So that being said, Chris, let's go ahead and pull up some more numbers here.
324,000 views, 5,000 clicks, 237 orders, 2,600 in revenue, 1,800 in spend digital products. So even though this isn't that like 4-to-1 return on ad spend that we were talking about, because we are talking digital products here, this is likely to be profitable for Gary C. We clearly don't have a demand problem. We have 324,000 views. What are your thoughts on 5,000 clicks on 324,000 views, Scott? Is that acceptable? Is that okay?
Not really. I mean, sure. I mean, it's great, but I think we can improve that. And I think if we're looking at the views, we have to look at also, okay, those views, once again, are we, here's another problem I see people making is they're like, you know what? I want to show up for this keyword because it gets a lot of search, but you might be showing up for it in this case, maybe getting a lot of views, but you're not actually showing up to the right person. So it's one thing to get the views, but it's one thing to get the click. The views tells us that there's demand. Now, if you aren't doing that and you're getting 324 views, then I'd be saying, okay, why am I not getting 7,000 clicks? Well, I'd be like, with that much traffic, you can very easily for like a week test a new image, right? And then we can see, did that get us more clicks? And you can immediately test that. So that's one thing I'd be looking at. And then the clicks, I'd be looking at that to say, okay, those 5,000 clicks, are those the right clicks? We'd be digging into that to see, maybe turn some of that stuff off and maybe saving. Now, in this case, because it is a digital product and you have a very, very low, low overhead, okay, as far as expense goes, and you made money on that $1,800, okay, well, what if we reduce that ad spend down to $1,200? Immediately, you've just pocketed that money. So in this case, it's really, really critical that we look at those clicks and then we start pruning the ones that were like, yeah, they didn't lead to any sales. Because we can see now on the back end, this keyword got this many clicks, but we got only 2 sales out of whatever, 100 clicks. And you're like, oh gosh, turn that one off. Now you just saved yourself 30 cents a click. That's kind of where I'm going with that, Chris.
Yeah, I think when I look at this, Gary has the opposite problem that a lot of people have. Gary has the blessing of too much data, right? Everybody's like, I've got 5 impressions. What do I do, right? Yeah. This is the exact opposite problem. And the good news for Gary is that he's likely profitable here, just given the fact that it's a digital product. But if we look at this, Scott, we're talking like a 1.5% click-through rate, not bad, right? A almost 4.5% conversion rate from click to sale and a decent revenue. Now, could we say, yes, sell higher cost products? Yeah, because we're averaging like 10 bucks here, right? But also it's a digital product, so who knows, right? The question here is, with all of this data, we now suffer from an overabundance of information. How much of this data is junk data or less than optimal data? And this, the reason I wanted to bring up this example is because I think this is actually the opposite of what we're saying for a lot of people, right? Even if Gary says, okay, all of my keywords are relevant, so all of these clicks are relevant, we should still be going in and doing some trimming of the keywords here. Why would I say that? Well, if we're converting at 4.5%, right? A lot of these are going to be converting at 1%, 2%. The question we have to answer is our ad spend better spent on those or the ones that are converting at 8%? Well, obviously the answer is 8%, right? So if we can come in and say, even all of those keywords are relevant, Gary, go in, look at what the conversion rate is at the keyword level and figure out, can you trim some of that out? And you can either trim them out because they're under converting what your average is, or because they're just not converting at all, there's still some fat in here. We could bring down the overall ad spend, increase the conversion rate by doing that because that budget is better spent on the keywords that are converting at 8%. Increase revenue while lowering the budget. I'm a huge fan of that. So I would be jumping in immediately and looking for anything that's just underperforming the average and saying, does this make sense or is this money better spent on another keyword? We clearly have the demand. We have good converting listings. We have all of those things. Now, this is a pure question of where is my money best spent? And this is like the Goldilocks zone, right? This is the place to be if you have this data, because pretty much anything that we can do moving forward is just going to change that margin for us.
Yeah. Yeah. for sure. Cool.
So are there any other ones, Scott, that really stood out to you? Most of these are going to follow that same pattern, right?
Yeah.
A couple thousand views, a couple thousand clicks. So is there any other ones that you saw that came across that really stood out to you?
No. I think we covered quite a few there. I was just kind of going through if we had any questions that we wanted to address here. But again, guys, if you want that Etsy ads guide, go to, or just go ahead and drop ads in the comments. We do also have an Etsy ads accelerator workshop that we did that kind of walks you through the strategy. And then it also has action steps and really setting you up to do, it's really a challenge where we kind of get you started. And then from there, start to look at the data and then adjust the data. And then at the other end, when you're all done with the challenge, you can kind of reflect. And then we have actual students that we've did some reviews with that are also part of that workshop. But if you're interested in that workshop, it is a paid training. If you wanted to go to brandcreators.com/ads, you can go ahead and you can go through that training. It's on demand, so you can immediately go right in. And we're actually talking about possibly in the next week, we're going to be doing an additional bonus where we're going to be having some of our students coming in and having us review their Etsy ads. Now that'll be part of the Etsy ads accelerator for people that are in it right now, but then also for people that are going to come in the future. And the people that are going to be joining in the next week and a half, will have the potential to be part of that live review session where we're going to be reviewing some live accounts. So if you're interested in being part of that, you would just need to be part of our Etsy ads accelerator workshop as far as being a student, and you can get access to that. Anything else, Chris, that we wanted to leave people with?
A couple other questions. So Scott, is it better to turn off generic keywords like fleece blanket, for example? And I'm just going to go ahead and point right back there instead of answering and say, it depends, right? And it really comes down to the data that we're getting back. If our listing is converting well for fleece blanket because we're selling a fleece blanket and we're getting a positive return on that ad spend, then yeah, leave it on. If we're selling this, we're probably going to turn off something generic like fleece blanket, right? If we're selling a Sherpa blanket or some other type of fleece and we're getting impressions, clicks, and conversions, then we leave it on. It just depends on what that data is. The upside of leaving something like that on is Etsy sees that we're getting clicks, impressions, and sales for that, and they give us more of a chance on the organic side for that as well, which would be a huge volume keyword. But if that ad spend isn't working out for us, then we're going to turn that off. And that's why we have to do the analysis on the back end of this to understand, even if we have a bounty of keyword data, like that last example that we were looking at, and we are working with a profit margin, we still have to understand if that individual keyword is worth the ad spend. So we always have to look at that particular piece of data. And Shanta, I got, if I butcher your name, guys, it's not an attack against you. It's just, I suck at reading English and English makes no sense and is a terrible language with more exceptions to the rules than applications of the rules. But Shanta said, when you change your keywords, won't that take you out of the algorithm? So if you remove a keyword from Etsy ads, does that impact the organic side of things?
No, I don't believe it does. Now I don't have, like, you know, the look behind the curtain of Etsy to know 100% like what's happening. But from what has been said, there's a couple of different algorithms, right? So you have an algorithm for your ads and you have an algorithm for your organic. And I think that there could be something to it that, not that if you turn that keyword off, but if you adjust something on your listing, that would impact your Etsy ads and it would impact your organic. But if we're talking about turning a keyword off, that specifically is telling the Etsy ads algorithm, hey, look, you know, don't show ads. We don't want to spend money for ads on this. That's how I'm taking it. And I'm pretty sure that's how it would work. But if we're talking about your listing itself, if you change it in your title, yeah, that will not necessarily take you out, but it's going to readjust. So that's why if you are going to do anything like that, if there's something obvious that you have to put in your title, like if it's going after a completely different keyword because you were just targeting the wrong one, then yeah, maybe you're going to put it in your title. But for the most cases, it's just updating a tag. Like they said inside of the Etsy Ads Manager that tags matter. So if you wanted to, get rid of some tags that don't make any sense or that aren't performing and then just add in a new tag with that. And that should help you now start being displayed for those keywords.
Yeah. And I think the biggest difference there is they are two different algorithms. Is there some overlap in terms of sales velocity, conversion rate, and applicability to that specific keyword? Yeah. And we've seen it, right? Do they directly play off one another? Not so much, right? So if we adjust our listing, that then on the organic side tells Etsy, okay, here's the new set of keywords that they're relevant for in that first step, that Tinder swipe left, swipe right test, right? Relevant or not. And then it's a degree of how relevant. On the ad side, like we talked about earlier, Etsy is a lot more open with their algorithm. They assume you want to be shown for more things. So they open that up a little bit and they give you impressions for a lot of things that they wouldn't necessarily give you impressions for on the organic side because they're not 100% relevant. Maybe they're 80% relevant or they're related terms, but they know that sometimes there's crossover. And the reason that they do that is they know that you're going to come in on the back end and say, yes, yes, no, no, yes, yes, right? It's relevant for me. It's working for me. Leave it on. It's not relevant for me. It's not working for me. Turn it off. They let you determine your own destiny there on the back end. So changing keywords there doesn't impact what the listing itself is relevant for. It just impacts what you are going to spend on as an advertiser.
Yeah. I wanted to dig into Brian here a little bit. Brian, welcome. New Etsy store and user running ads, $25 a day, began February 8th. 6,070 views, 74 clicks, and 18 sales. What I would want to know, and Brian, if you're still with us, is how much have you spent? Even though you're spending $25 a day, are you spending the $25 a day? And I'm looking at this from February 8th, so we're just about almost a month in. Not a crazy amount of views, but the clicks to sales is really good. I like that. I mean, that's like if you got 100 clicks and you got 18 sales, we're talking that's an 18% conversion rate. So that's unheard of. So it sounds like you might be onto something, but I would be curious to see how much of that 25 that you're actually spending. But it looks like it's low demand if you're only getting 6,000 views so far.
Yeah, that's really the thing there that stands out to me. It's just the number of impressions. We're willing to give Etsy more than that. That tells me we've hit a demand cap, right? And Etsy can only show us if there's 100 people searching for bass fishing t-shirt. They can only show us to 100 people for bass fishing t-shirt. So we need to either look for higher demand products or look to include more products from the store if we want to increase that. But our conversion rate there is fantastic. Our click-through rate's pretty good. We just run into an impression cap on that side, which means we need to have more relevance to more people. And we can do that by changing our keywords on the listings, by adding in more listings, or by adding in a few listings that have more general demand.
Yeah. I'd like to ask too, Fatty Pancakes with us. She's one of our backstage past club members. And actually she was the one that we did the Etsy ads audit on that hasn't aired. It won't air for about another 4 weeks probably. But she says, this topic could totally see more videos. Would love to know, like, what would you want to see more videos on to help you with the Etsy ads? I'm just curious. If you guys would do that, drop in the comments and maybe we'll make that happen. And we can address those. If you do want help with your Etsy ads, first place I would go is I'd download our guide, which is like 26 pages, I think it is. And it would just walk you through the strategy and kind of get you kind of in the right frame of mind, but also kind of like the right setup. And then from there, looking at and analyzing the data. So if you want that guide, it's free. Just put ads in the comments. The other thing is, still got 160 of you here on live, which is awesome, by the way. So thank you so much. Do us a favor. Could you like this video and, maybe subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. That helps us on the YouTube side and it helps us reach more people. So we would really, really appreciate that. Chris, any other questions that we need to address?
I think that's it for now. And Scott, I know I said this at the beginning, but our take on Etsy ads, I think, is as controversial as our approach to SEO and us saying you don't have to spend all day every day trying to find the perfect keyword, right? Yeah. What we're saying here is Etsy ads work if you work them, right? I know this sounded like an Alcoholic Anonymous meeting all of a sudden, but that's really the truth, right? The problem is not the program. The problem is what we do with it. And it really breaks down into those five things that we were talking about. So either, and we've seen this just happen over and over again, which is why these came up, either people are stopping too soon because they're not getting enough data before they make that decision. They don't have that right budget to impressions or budget to product ratio. They have poor listing optimization. And this doesn't just hurt you on the ad side. And this is the thing that's mind-boggling to me, and I wish sellers would spend more time on, is that bad listing optimization. We don't have great supporting images. We don't have the right product description. We aren't using the keywords in a human-readable format the way that other people would use them, because we're using a keyword research tool that tells us this keyword gets a million searches a month, so we throw it in, and it just confuses people, right? Or if we have those first three things, so we're not stopping because we're getting that data back, we don't have too many products or too small of a budget, we have decent listing optimization, that we're not doing anything to push those people over the edge, we're not taking advantage of the built-in promotions, we're not taking advantage of the built-in abandoned cart emails, any of those kinds of things, we're not running sales or promotions as that last push. And then number five, and just based on the conversation we've just been having, Scott, and all of the numbers we just had thrown at us, this seems like a big one for people. We're not sure of what to do with the data, or we're not using the data to figure out where our problem actually is. And if we can avoid those five issues, we will start to see higher and higher return on ad spend for lower and lower spend.
Yeah. OM had a question that he wanted answered. So let's see here. Let me start with this one, because I think it was okay. No, go back to the other one. This one here. This is the first one that came in. Whenever I look at my Etsy ads data, the clicks never match with the searches that led to this ad. Data shows, example, yesterday I had 24 clicks on listing, not correlating with searches that. Well, the thing is like, it's going to take time for them to actually tell you and calculate like where it came from. And it's not always going to be the case. Like, you're not always going to get every single keyword that is being showed. I don't know why. I don't. So all we can do is go off of the keywords that are already there. But I do know that there's going to be a lapse. It's not going to be up to the minute where, you know, you got some clicks today and they're automatically going to turn into like the keywords that, you know, came through. Now, I'm hoping in the future that it gets better in the Etsy ads manager, where we're actually able to maybe even select what keywords. Not holding my breath on that one. When we're looking at the keywords, we have to understand that not every single keyword is going to show for whatever reason. So we only can use the ones that are there. I think you're selling jewelry, and it said you have like 600 listings, you know, and should you be advertising all of them? Yeah, there it is. My Etsy Pod jewelry store will be at 600 listings this week at $500 per day budget. That's an aggressive budget. I have 75 sales so far. Should I run ads for all 600 products? Number one, OM, are you spending $500 a day? You know, are you spending all of that? And if not, how much are you spending? Because that would tell me, like, are you reaching that? You know, because if you're spending $500 and you're spending, you know, $50 or $25, there's no sense in putting the budget all the way out there. I mean, you kind of pressure tested that too to see if you could get that much. And you wanted to know what products to run ads on. I think that's cool that you did that. And then you can kind of look at like, okay, how many views, how many impressions, and then you can kind of determine that. But I would want to take it a step further, and I'd want to be doing that research before I even turn those ads on, or before I even create those products. It's one thing to create 600 listings, but, you know, are those products ones that people are searching for, or at least, you know, is it for that certain event, that certain gift, which I'm assuming if it's jewelry, it's probably a gift. That's where I'd probably be playing, but it sounds like you're pretty aggressive, which is I'm aggressive too. I mean, I put $1,000 budget over the holidays just to see what the heck would happen. So I'm with you there. But I would say look at the ones that show the most demand and then use those as your lead-ins. So hopefully I answered that question for you.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to change from time of year and all of those kinds of things. I would say the biggest concern I have for OM right now is just for a new shop and we're launching 600 listings, even with all of, you know, let's say we can spend that $500 a day, we're probably not optimized for any of those listings at this point, depending on how aggressive you, you know, if you have a team behind you, maybe, but if you're launching those yourself. So I would take the time to make sure those listings are optimized before we turn on that ad budget, because if not, then we could spend that $500 a day. And what we're going to get back is a whole bunch of fat that we have to cut out before we start to see the sales on the back end of that. And Scott, we have a lot of people dropping some comments, and this is something I'd like to encourage everybody to do, whether you're on live or you're watching this after the fact, about some things that you need more help with on the ad side, some things that you need more help with on understanding SEO, whether that's title structure, how all of this stuff works. That gives us some ideas for what we can do, like today, to come on and say, hey, here's the mistakes we see people making.
Yep.
Don't make them, right? Here's how to avoid them. And the more of those kinds of things you guys share with us, the easier it is for us to figure out some ways to help you with those situations.
Yeah, awesome. And this one here, I wanted to, and this is, looks like D. I think we did an Etsy shop audit for D. She's one of our Backstage Pass club members. I often wonder how long to test new products in ads. So here's, I'll kind of give you that real quick. And I know we're running out of time. Whenever I'm running a new product, depending if we're leading up to, let's say, Easter, you know, and I'm launching a new product and I'm only using the Etsy ads as the promotional vehicle, we use email a lot of times. But what I would want to do then is I would want to give it at least, if it's a brand new product, and this, again, this product has the ability to have good demand, right? And good sales velocity, you know, for this period of time. If that's the case, then I'm going to want to do a 14 to a 21 day launch. I just did a video on YouTube on our channel that goes through that strategy, but very, very simply, it goes like this. You launch the product at a break-even cost. As you're running those ads, you let that go for 7 days, then you increase it. So this way here, you can have it still be a discount, but it's not a lose money or a break even discount, and let that run for 7 days. And then I would scale it up to where I would bring it to where maybe we're only offering 20% off, and I'd let that run for another 7 days. So it's kind of like break even point might be 50% off, then it might be 40% off, then it might be 20% off. And I'd run that for three weeks, you know, 7 days at a rip. Each sales cycle is 7 days. So that way there it comes up as it's ending. So you get that scarcity built in, you know, the sales ending kind of thing, kind of like me with the Culture Pop and Earth Fair, you know, like if they sent me out something in a text message says, hey Scott, tomorrow's the last day, I'd be running over there. That's kind of how that looks. So for us, generally it's going to be, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes longer. But a lot of times then we're going to leave that 20%, but we're going to run them weekly. So we would do like, we would turn it back on Monday. It would end on Sunday, turn it back on Monday. And we keep doing that. So hopefully that helped. Any other quick questions?
We had one sneak in. Is there any way to choose the keywords? There's no positive keywords. There's only negative keywords in Etsy ads. So it takes a look at everything that you have in your listing. And then you can say, don't show me for that one. Just show me for the other ones that are still relevant.
I like this idea here. And it says here's an idea for video. All backstagers get to post one listing and get a lightning review just on that listing for improvement. That's a great idea. And I would totally do that. And I think Chris would be okay with that too.
Figure out what lightning review means. Is it look at it pictures, title,
yeah,
right? Like, are we doing it that quickly, or we'll have to figure out some of the ground rules.
Yeah. We might have to put ourselves on a timer, and we might have to do something where it's like, maybe we do 5 minutes. We do a 5 minute speed round on a listing and we give all of our thoughts for that 5 minutes. I like that idea. That's a great idea, actually. And we'll kind of poll the audience in the backstagers and we'll see. And if you're wondering what Backstager is, it's our Backstage Pass club, where, we record Etsy shop audits before they air. We do them in a private batch recording session. We have one coming up here in about a week and a half, and we'll usually do around three of these. And then we get our backstagers to sit in on these and ask questions, and they get to be part of it. And if you want to join us, go to brandcreators.com/club, and you can be part of that. And you can join us on our next one, and you get to also watch after the fact, before they're aired. So that's a great idea. I like that. All right. And it looks like we got a new member there too. It looks like Artby. Welcome, Artby. Glad to have you. All right. So Chris, any last little bit here before we mosey on out of here for the day?
I think that was it. And if you guys have any other ideas, like the one from Elysian Workshop, let us know in the comments below. If it's something we can make happen, we'll make sure that we can do that for y'all.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so that is going to wrap up this this live stream. This was a good one. We'll probably do another one on Etsy ads. Maybe we'll even have the audience send in, maybe we'll do like three where we'll have them just send in the data from their, you know, their shop. And if they want us to do that on a little speed round, we can do that too. If you want to join us inside of our Backstage Pass Club, that's where we're hanging out and doing these Etsy shop audits. And our feedback has been really, really good. People are getting a lot of great value from it, because it's us diving in and it's not scripted. We don't know where it's going to go, but it usually ends up pretty good. So if you want to be part of that, head on over to brandcreators.com/club. And then also, if you would like the Etsy ads free guide, head on over to, don't head over to anywhere. Just in the comments, put ads and we'll send it to you. That's what I'm going to do. We've been on here for almost 2 hours. So, I mean, I'm kind of losing a little bit of steam, but I think I've got enough steam to close this thing out. All right, guys, that is it. That's going to wrap it up. I want to thank you guys so much. If you have not yet liked this, please do. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. And that way there, you can get notified when we go live next week. All right, guys. So take care, take action. Talk to you soon. Bye, guys.